A 6-3 decision yesterday, the Supreme Court upheld a law banning Americans from providing, quote, material support to foreign terrorist groups. The material support standard comes from a 1996 law. And helping to argue this case before the Supreme Court was David Cole, professor at Georgetown University Law Center. He was an attorney for the Center for Constitutional Rights and served as counsel for the Humanitarian Law Project on this case. David Cole, good morning.
Good morning.
This was a very interesting decision. It was a 6-3 majority ruling in favor of the law, which establishes this material support standard. But there was some eloquent dissent as well, Stephen Breyer principally. First of all, what is the argument in this case, and why did you and others decide to challenge it?
Well, the question really is, how far can the government go in the name of preventing terrorism in making it a crime to engage in pure speech? And in this instance, pure speech that advocates no crime, that advocates no terrorism, that in fact was designed to discourage the use of violence by encouraging resort to lawful methods. And our contention was that the First Amendment protects the right to engage in speech, especially the right to engage in speech that advocates lawful nonviolent activity, and the government shouldn't be able to label that as material support because it doesn't like the group to whom you're speaking and turn a human rights activist into a terrorist.
Well, before we talk specifically about the human rights activist who's at issue in this case, we can agree, and the Supreme Court apparently unanimously agreed, that actual material support in the form of, say, arms or supplies to an armed militia, these kinds of things clearly fall under the material support standard, right?
That's right. But Congress didn't stop there. It defined material support to include things like the provision of advice, the provision of training, which is the training in any kind of specific skill, any service, which the government interprets as anything that is done for the benefit of a group, including speaking. And so the government conceded in this case that it would be a crime to lobby Congress to change this law on behalf of a group. It would be a crime to write an amicus brief to the Supreme Court on behalf of one of these groups, and it would be a crime, as our clients had been doing before the law went into effect, to work with a group, in this case the Kurdistan Workers Party in Turkey, in the hopes of encouraging it to use the human rights methods of bringing complaints to the Human Rights Committee in Geneva of the UN. That's also a crime because they define material support to include speech and required no showing of any connection or nexus between the speech and any actual act of terrorism.
Well, let's talk about the PKK, which is the Kurdistan Workers Party you referred to a moment ago. This organization has a very clear track record of brutality and killings inside Turkey. Certainly the Turks consider it to be a terrorist organization. But on the one hand, the behavior that your client was involved in, while it could be viewed as, okay, we're encouraging the PKK to actually do things on the up and up, maybe steer clear of terrorism and file human rights complaints with the United Nations, according to more civilized channels. That's one way of looking at what this organization did. But another way of looking at it, and indeed the way the Supreme Court looked at it, the majority opinion looked at it, was, well, you're providing a cover for an organization like this. You're shielding them. You're giving them the kind of support that makes the underground activities more likely to go on. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that goes very far. That kind of reasoning goes too far. First of all, there's no showing whatsoever that the Humanitarian Law Project, and no, not even any allegation that the Humanitarian Law Project was doing its human rights work and its peacemaking work for the purpose of providing any sort of cover. Nor is there was there any evidence or showing that the Kurdistan Workers Party was using it as any kind of a cover of that sort. But secondly, if you accept that kind of reasoning, then you've really thrown out the right to speak and the right to associate. It was that kind of argument that was made with respect to the Communist Party back in the 1950s and 60s. The claim was the Communist Party is an international conspiracy. Its purpose is to overthrow the United States by force and violence. People who associate with it and support it in its legal activities, such as civil rights activity here in the United States, labor organizing and the like, are giving it cover and are ultimately supporting its illegal ends. Therefore, we should make it a crime to work with the Communist Party in any way. The Supreme Court ultimately rejected that view and said, no, it's you have a right to work with the Communist Party and support the Communist Party as long as you are seeking only to support its legal ends. To criminalize you for supporting the legal ends of a group because that group also happens to engage in illegal activity, the court said, was guilt by association. Yet in this case, the court seems to have forgotten that lesson and to have said simply because this group has engaged in some illegal activity, we're going to make it a crime for people in the United States to engage in the core First Amendment protected activity of political speech, even where that speech is intended to produce only nonviolent lawful activity, even where it has the effect of producing only nonviolent lawful activity. It's no defense to show that we were successful and we encouraged this group to stop engaging in terrorism. It's still a crime under this law.
But what's changed then? I mean, did the court say that something has changed? 9/11 has changed? This law has changed the standard?
I think the word terrorism, once the government invokes that word terrorism, it seems that the court stopped engaging in the kind of skeptical analysis that it usually engages in when the government is criminalizing speech.
Do you expect more decisions to clarify what this material support standard is all about, or are we going to be left with something as broad as you've described it?
Well, I think they've left it so broad that that very few people are going to engage in the kind of speech that our clients were seeking to engage in because they now risk going to jail for 15 years. So I don't know that there's going to be many opportunities to clarify it at this point.
All right. David Coles, professor at Georgetown University Law Center, attorney for the Center for Constitutional Rights, served as counsel for the Humanitarian Law Project on the case, which was decided by the Supreme Court 6-3 against David Coles' argument and for a 1996 law banning material support for terrorist organizations. David Cole, thank you very much.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.